Does It Make Any Difference? By Ronnie F. Wade. Lesson 1. Does it make any difference how you are saved? At first glance, you may think the above question is completely absurd. And most people will answer with a positive, "No, it doesn't make any difference how you are saved, just as long as you are honest and sincere." Others will reply, "Do you mean there is more than one way to salvation?" Well, if we believe everything we hear from preachers, it would seem that way. I hear some say that in order to be saved, all that is necessary is faith in God. Another says, not only must we believe, but we must also reform our life. This confusing list of answers to the simple question, "What must I do to be saved?" could be continued on and on. In fact, if you were to start down the street of any town in America today and ask every preacher you meet, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" you would probably get a different answer every time. Following is a list of some of the answers you would receive. One says, "Just believe and you will be saved." Another, "Believe on the Lord and accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior." Another says, "Make a decision for Christ," or "Put your hand on the radio and believe." Another says, "Pray the prayer of the sinner," or "Come to the mourner's bench." Another says, "Believe, repent, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins." Then again another, "Believe and be saved, and then be baptized if you choose." We could go on and on, but the above is sufficient to show you the avalanche of answers you get to such a simple question. But how are we to know which answer is right? One thing is certain, all these answers are not right. Someone is wrong, and the only way to determine who is to go to the Bible and see what it says. If in God's Word we can find people asking this age-old question and the divinely inspired answer they got, that should be sufficient. The purpose of this little study is to take you to Bible examples of conversion and see exactly what was and was not required of the people involved. Remember, the answer to this question is very important. It may actually mean the difference between being saved and being lost. Therefore, don't cast it aside lightly. First, the people in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. In this chapter, we find the Apostle Peter preaching to a group of people who were guilty of murdering Christ. After accusing them of this terrible deed, the record says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Now, friend, here it is. The question has been asked. What is the answer? Here it is. "Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Let us now summarize the events of this Bible example. 1. A preacher preached the gospel. 2. The people heard. 3. They were told to repent. 4. They were told to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. This, then, is a Bible example of salvation. But let us notice others. The Samaritans, Acts 8, verses 4 through 12. Because of the length of this example, we suggest you turn and read it. For the sake of time, we will only mention the high points. In verse 5, we are told that Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to the people. In verse 6, we learn that the people heard or gave attention to what Philip said. Then in verse 12, the scripture tells us that they believed what Philip preached, and as a result, they were all baptized. So, once again, we have a preacher preaching, people hearing, believing, and being baptized. Next, the nobleman of Ethiopia. Acts 8, verses 35 through 38. The salvation of this man is very interesting. He was on the way home from a visit to the city of Jerusalem. While the nobleman was riding along in a chariot reading from the prophet Isaiah, Philip, a preacher, joined himself to the chariot and asked the man if he understood what he was reading. "How can I unless someone guides me?" replied the nobleman. From this point, Philip proceeds to preach unto the man Jesus. They come to a certain water, and the man requests baptism. He is told that if he believes in Christ, he may be baptized. After he makes a statement to the effect that he believes Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he is then baptized, according to verse 38. Thus, the procedure of this case of conversion is a preacher preaching, the sinner believing, and being baptized. Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. We again request that you turn and read these verses of Scripture. The preacher on this occasion is Peter. The group assembled heard his words, and in verse 48 he commanded them to be baptized. I sometimes hear people say that baptism is not a command, but just a matter of choice. Well, it certainly wasn't a matter of choice with these people, for they were commanded to be baptized. Next, Lydia, Acts chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. Lydia was a seller of purple. When Paul came to her city preaching, she had an opportunity to hear him. The Bible says that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and she was baptized. Next, the jailer, Acts 16, verses 25 through 33. This case of conversion is a very exciting one, so please read it carefully. Paul and Silas are in prison for preaching the gospel. At midnight, a mighty earthquake shakes the prison, and they are freed from their chains. The jailer, supposing they are fled, is about ready to take his own life, when Paul tells him not to do so, for no one has escaped. At this, the jailer asks the greatest question ever asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Verse 30. He is told by Paul, the preacher, to believe. He then takes his prisoners and washes their backs, which is a clear sign of repentance, and is baptized, he and all his family. Next, Saul of Tarsus, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. We would like to notice this case of conversion in more detail because there are so many false ideas regarding it. The subject is Saul of Tarsus, who later is to become Paul the preacher. He is on his way to Damascus to bind Christians and cast them into prison. However, before he gets there, a bright light shines down on him and strikes him blind. At the same moment, a voice from heaven says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply was, "I am Jesus." The next question is that age-old inquiry, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" However, Jesus didn't tell him what to do to be saved. No, he sent him into the city of Damascus, and when he was found by a man named Ananias, then he was told what to do to be saved. Many people have concluded that Saul was saved when the bright light shined about him. This, however, could not be, for it was after this that he asks the question, "What will you have me to do?" If Saul was saved then, he didn't know it. Another important thing we notice about this case is that the Lord didn't give him the answer to his question, but rather sent him to a man. Do you wonder why? Well, here is the answer. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." In other words, the treasure of the gospel is delivered or preached by human beings. Never, not once, in the book of Acts do you find God, Christ, or angels telling men what to do in order to be saved. It is always a preacher. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul said, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." But, you ask, what did Saul do when he got to Damascus? In order to get a clear answer to this, let's let Paul tell us himself. In Acts 22, verse 16, Paul recounts the event. Ananias said to him, "And now, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So in Saul's case, he listened to the preacher or heard the gospel, and then arose and was baptized. One last case. The 12 in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. Here, as our last example, we notice a group of people who had been baptized, but baptized wrong. You know, that is possible. Sometimes people are baptized, but for the wrong purpose. When this happens, they should be baptized again, just as these people were. The record of their conversion tells us that they heard what Paul the preacher said and then were baptized. Adding it all up. In this lesson, we have noticed 8 cases of conversion from the book of Acts. You will notice that in every case of conversion, there was a preacher present and the person being converted was baptized. Why then should people deny that baptism is necessary to salvation? You will notice, too, that no one was saved out by himself or had a dream or a vision, etc., but that a preacher delivered a message, and in response to what they heard, the converts believed, repented, and were baptized. In conclusion, some objections considered. But, says someone, I thought we were saved by faith. Well, we are, but not by faith only. Salvation may be illustrated this way. Suppose a man goes fishing and catches a 10-pound bass. I see the man returning and ask, what did you use to catch that fish? He replies, I caught him on a red worm. Would I understand that he just held a red worm in the water and caught the fish? No, of course not. But suppose someone asks that man about his fish and he tells them that he used a certain kind of rod and reel. Would that person get the idea that he just held a rod and reel in his hand and without any line or bait caught the fish? No, of course not. We all realize that it takes a pole, line, hook, bait, etc. to catch a fish. The same is true in being saved. Faith does save us. So does baptism, but neither by itself. However, by putting them all together, we get the desired result. Another question asked by many is this. Why were some told to believe and others told to repent and vice versa? Or why did the preacher tell some one thing and others something else? The reason for this is simple. It depends on where you are along the road to salvation when you ask the question, what must I do to be saved? In other words, some were farther along the road than others. Let us illustrate. Suppose you are in St. Louis, Missouri, and you want to go to Springfield, Missouri. The distance between the two cities is a little over 200 miles. As you leave St. Louis, you ask a man how far to Springfield, and he replies, about 200 miles. You then travel for some time and ask again. This time a man tells you 150 miles. Later on, you ask again. This time the answer is 90 miles. Now, you get a different answer each time you ask, but each time it is correct. The only difference is that you are closer to your destination. Now, the same is true with salvation. Some people ask what to do to be saved and were told to believe, repent, and be baptized. Others just to repent and be baptized. Why? Because the second group had already believed and there was no need to instruct them in this phase of obedience. Surely you can see by this that in the Bible the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved, depended on where that person was when he asked the question. But that all people who wanted to be saved had to hear the preacher, Romans 10 verse 17, believe what they heard, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, repent of their sins, Acts 2:38, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38, 1 Peter 3:21, Galatians 3 verses 26 and 27. This is not man's way, it is God's. Have you obeyed it? If not, do so today. Remember, it does make a difference how you are saved.